Hello and welcome to the October 2015 edition of The President's Perspective, a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight. Before we introduce our guest, we have university headlines to discuss. Hello, Dr. Jones.
Hello, Jared.
So, a few things that we've got to mention, and you're bringing this right off the bat. There's something special about this number, 12,846.
That's right, Jared. That's the number of students who were enrolled at Texas A&M University Commerce on the 20th class day. And the 20th class day is an important day in the semester because that's the day we take our official headcount. So a record enrollment, yet another record enrollment. So, we're busting at the seams here at A&M Commerce.
That's why it's so busy around.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Another headline here, Dr. Fred Fuentes is back on campus. He's Assistant Dean of Enrollment Management.
Fred has a lot of friends here in Commerce. He was a graduate student, got his doctorate here, went off to Washington, D.C., worked for the feds, and now we've got him back as Assistant Dean of Enrollment Management for Hispanic Outreach and Retention, and he's doing just a wonderful job over there.
In the same place now, there's a new director of Direct Student Access who was once a student in our Honors College.
Here. That's right. We're all about service here, and a lot of our students want to stay on and help our current and future students, so we're very happy about that.
That's great. Dr. David Montejano.
Montejano
from the University of California, Berkeley, was on campus just this past week as a part of a grant-funded project by the campus library.
Yes. Dr. Montejano is really a nationally known expert in Chicano history,
mm-hmm.
and Latinos in Texas. So it was really wonderful to have him here on campus. He gave a great talk on a topic that's very much in the news these days, the changing demographics of the state and how that is affecting us here in Northeast Texas. So it was quite an honor to have him here.
And finally, there's a Wyman Williams somewhere who will rejoice when we mention that 1 week from today, there will be a ceremony to honor Lieutenant General Claire Lee Chenault and the Flying Tigers. That ceremony is going to take place at 10 a.m. next Wednesday near his birthplace on Monroe Street.
That's right. Claire Chenault, unbeknownst to most Americans, but actually known by many Chinese, a billion or more Chinese know that he was born in Commerce.
Sure.
Moved away as an infant, but this is his hometown. And the university was fortunate to be able to partner with the Texas State Historical Commission and some other partners to erect a historical marker in front of his birthplace. And what is significant is that it is the first Texas State historical marker in Mandarin. So another first here in Commerce.
I started to say, I've driven by that birthplace many times and I've seen the historical markers.
Right.
So this will be a second one in another language.
Yes, there's one there now in English that's been there a number of years. So there will be a partner sign right next to it in Mandarin Chinese. And we've invited representatives from the Chinese consulate, the Taiwanese consulate, and it's going to be quite a big deal. We're going to have the Ross Volunteers up here from College Station. Chancellor Sharp is going to be here. So a big moment in the history of the City of Commerce.
That's fantastic. Looking forward to it. Well, this month on the program, the focus is on what we've referred to many times as the front porch of the institution. It's one of the most high-profile departments on any college campus. And in recent years, that profile has only gotten bigger. With 7 Lone Star Conference championships last year, this NCAA Division II institution's athletics department has arguably been soaring, which is going to make the work of our next guest here both intensely interesting and arguably of vital import for this institution and for the region in the coming months and years.
Well, that's right, Jared, and I'm very pleased to have with us in the studio today Tim McMurray, whom we introduced to the campus community and really the regional community last Thursday at a press conference. Tim comes to us currently as, I guess for a few more hours anyway, the CEO and founder of Rainmakers, which is a consulting firm in collegiate athletics. But he also has more than 2 decades of very solid experience in collegiate athletics at a number of different kinds of institutions. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But we are so happy to have Tim and his family join us as our next athletic director. So without further ado, Tim McMurray, welcome, the newest member of the Pride.
Dr. Jones and Jared, thank you very much. It's a blessing and a privilege to be here in Commerce and very, very familiar with the Lone Star Conference. My resume will show you a couple of different institutions that were original Lone Star Conference members many moons ago, both at Lamar and Southwest Texas State, which became Texas State while I was there. So been through the name change, much like Texas A&M University Commerce
has.
We're
familiar with name change.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And what it doesn't change is the where you went to school, the value of the degree, and the memories that you made here as an alum. So very, very excited to be here and really can't wait to hit the ground running. And by the time this airs, we'll just be a few days from having our boots on the ground for good. So.
Well, and Jared, I think in the interest of full disclosure, I do need to let our listeners know that we hired Tim in spite of the fact that his wife is a graduate of Texas Woman's University, another Lone Star Conference school.
Sure.
And this is it pains me to say this, but his stepdaughter is a sophomore at Tarleton.
Wow. Yeah.
So we've
got it surrounded, though. We've got the league surrounded. Yes.
He's a little spread out then.
Yes. Yes. And it is, and I thankfully overcame that, and really, really, really excited to get the family here next week. And as I was just sharing with Dr. Jones before we went on the air, as soon as my younger stepdaughter, who's 15, knew that we were going to be introduced to the football game on Saturday night, her question was, "Do I get to get a new outfit? What do I wear?" So we're very excited to get over here, and family will be in transition for the rest of the academic year. But as we've told a few people, you don't have to pack a lunch to get over here. It's a
right,
very
no.
easy 57-minute drive from our house, and we're very much appreciative of the opportunity. And I've told Dr. Jones that we will not disappoint. So,
well, Tim, let me ask you a couple of questions about what attracted you to A&M Commerce. We know what attracted A&M Commerce to you. You've got just the right combination of experience and insight and vision for the future. But what did you see in us that made you want to come and be a Lion?
Yeah, very quick general comment. I've said this for many years, and being fortunate to work in it, higher education, we hope, is a pump, not a filter, mm-hmm. where it allows opportunity and provides opportunity. And certainly here at Commerce, that's the case. In Division II athletics, nobody, whether you're at the highest levels of Division I or Division II, III, NAIA, at 18 to 22, we don't get the finished product.
That's right.
Of the general student population, student athletes. So that's very exciting. Another thing, and it was very, very, very evident on my interview, that this interview process and engagement process on both sides of it was very inclusive rather than exclusive. That meant a lot. By about the 10th or 11th hour on the day of the interview, I was like, "Dr. Jones, what are you doing, man? I'm running a marathon." But
yeah,
it was
that's part of the
it was a good yeah
part
was,
of the interview experience.
It was a good
it's
test,
an endurance test.
but what I learned from just being here for a few days and or for a few hours that day, and then coming in the night before, and also had a chance to secret shop it a little bit. We can talk about that later prior to my interview, but I. It's celebrated. Athletics is celebrated here, not just tolerated. And I've worked, as Dr. Jones said, at five very different institutions with very, very different optics. But the core message is the same. We're going to provide a best-in-class student-athlete experience. We're going to provide our coaches and our administrators with the opportunities and resources to embrace and also help provide that experience, because that's why we're here. Very much like for all the meetings and events and budget hearings and things you have to go through as the president of this institution and the leader of the institution, we have jobs because of the students.
And, that's right.
And
absolutely.
There's 12,846 reasons to be excited about being at Commerce.
Right. You know, you're coming into a very different circumstance than our previous AD came into, Ryan Ivey. We were kind of at a low ebb in our athletic program. We had a number of programs with let's call them less than stellar win-loss records. Dealing with some morale issues, low attendance at the games, and Ryan really helped us make a lot of progress in 2.5 years. In fact, I kind of joke that the day before Ryan left, I said, "So Ryan, we had a record-breaking season last year, 2014, we've never won more Lone Star Conference championships than we did in 2014. What are you going to do next year?" And he said, "Well, I'm leaving. I'm going someplace else."
He knew he was going to leave on top.
Go out on top.
Yeah.
So, so we're really enjoying the success, but we know that success doesn't just happen. It has to be nurtured, cultivated, and sustained. So what are your plans? What do you see as the best opportunities for ensuring that Lion Athletics not only maintains its current momentum, but reaches that next level and the level beyond?
Well, first and foremost, I am violating my favorite professional rule, never follow a genius. So I am doing that. I had a chance to engage with Ryan a little bit during this process, and we have an extremely positive professional relationship. We don't know each other that well personally, but just from some national involvement through NCAA and NACTA committees, have gotten to know him a little bit over the years. And he has shared, you know, some great insight with me about this and what about the opportunity. And I told him, and I think it was in my press release last week, that, you know, I said, I'm not coming in here and having to rebuild the foundation or pave the track. I'm taking the baton.
Right.
And that's really what I think it is. And honestly, Dr. Jones, during our part of the interview, I'm gonna use part of my answer for what yours was when I asked you what defines a successful athletic director. And when we fist bump a year from now and you tell me you made the right hire, what have I done to do that? And we talked about a culture of compliance. We talked about coming in immediately and getting some strategic assessments done that leads to our 5-year strategic plan that can integrate within the institutional plan. We talked about, you know, assessing athletic facilities and fee structure and certainly the private resources that are available. And one of the great things Ryan did, he even said, you know, we started the Lion Athletic Club, but we certainly haven't finished it.
Right.
And that's right. That's where, thankfully, some of my background, it's funny, in the transition and here over the last week or so, getting ready to take over the reins, I was telling my wife the other night that the least I've spent time on is development, because I know when I hit the ground running how we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. I can see it very clearly, and I think Ray Garvin's hopefully very excited about that. But we're going to get that piece right. We have an interim director of compliance. We have Josh Jorgensen, who was your interim athletic director, and I did an excellent job holding the ship together with Ryan and now Judy taking those reins. So, being the fourth athletic director in 2 months, I'm looking forward to looking forward to getting on the ground. So the other part of that's really important to me, the final thing that we talked about that hit home that I took very much to heart is continuing to nurture and develop those collegial relationships on campus. And I think that's so important. And having a little bit of undergraduate and graduate background in working in student affairs and at each of the 5 institutions where I've worked, having a dual report and communication line with university advancement or institutional advancement, depending on the school, it's paramount, because we need their help. Whether it's when you talk about resources, to me, it's just like when you hear the word audit. An audit's not always a negative, because an audit is to help you get better, more fit. We'll talk. We can talk offline about
all
that.
All right, yeah. We'll have to talk more about that later.
But it's really a chance to get better, and that's what, to me, when you talk about resources, it's not always just having your hand out on campus asking for more money. Certainly, it will be some, but we also have to show that we've got our ducks in a row in
that's
athletics,
right.
And the resources can be human, they can be financial. There's a lot of different things that campus can provide us, you know, in all the areas, you know. And certainly, as I said, if we're going to have that best in class student athlete experience, that means if there are things that, you know, the volleyball team at you know, Midwestern State or Tarleton or somewhere are getting, and we're not providing that, then as an athletic director, I'm not doing my job, and we need to help empower those coaches to do that. So that building those and continuing those collegial relationships that Ryan started and taking them to the next level, that really rang true with me during our visit. So those are kind of the key ones for me, that culture compliance, and certainly with that, getting the 2 administrative positions posted, hired, and filled, in the John Wood metaphor, be quick but not hurry.
Yeah.
And then certainly looking at our resource base, analyzing and assessing how we grow those. The strategic plan, I'm very excited about that. We talked briefly on my interview with a few groups about we're going to have Lion Roar Days, and Roar is the acronym for review, organize, act, and reassess. And that's really my style on how you build a strategic plan. So we rearrange the verbs a little bit to make the roar metaphor fit, but it's really a great opportunity for us, and I'm excited because I've been through that strategic planning process, and I'm looking really forward to engaging both our coaches, because I have 3 different assessments. I have one for our head coaches, I have one for our management team in athletics, and then I have one for our student athlete advisory council, because a lot of times if you don't engage them as a third group, then you're kind of prescribing for them what's best. And last time I checked, 18 to 22 year olds, they do have an opinion and a brain.
They do, absolutely.
So we will do that.
And they don't particularly take to being told what they need and what they like and what they don't like.
Right. But you know, your point is certainly well taken. I mean, without the students, there wouldn't be much reason for us to come to work every day.
Right. Correct.
And
correct.
They are at the center of everything we do. And you know, that's not just a marketing slogan. That's who we are. That's our identity. We practice that in enrollment. We practice that in the classroom, and we practice it certainly in athletics. So. As long as we are doing the best thing for the student, we never need to worry about if we're making the right decision.
Right. I was in my limited research, I was able to uncover that that Tim is pretty well respected for his ability to generate revenue in some various capacities. But fundraising seems to be a strong point for you. So, how does that way into sort of the strategic plan? We know that funding is central to things. So what's your plan?
We're in, I think we're in year two, maybe really the start of year three of the Lion Athletic Club even existing. So mm-hmm. I've already asked for some metrics on what our Lion Athletic Club and our Touchdown Club, because those are our two key most supported private donor groups right now. And we've got a huge opportunity. I've been able to have a chance now, by the time this airs, brief conversation with Blake Cooper, who I know is very, very motivated to have the Lion Athletic Club active, and have just heard that from some feedback, initial meetings with coaches and administrative staff. And we've got an opportunity there. And the experiences, I specifically think back to my time at Northern Illinois when I got there. They didn't have a board. And what you don't, you know, when you have a private mm-hmm. donor group, you don't want a board that thinks they're a board of directors.
No.
you want an advisory board that's going to be in that ambassador role. So that's exactly what we created. We created Husky Ambassadors. I think this is very ripe for it, because what we've got, also, I need to dig a little bit more into this, but I know we've got some folks very motivated in our former letter winners group. That are very, very motivated to help us act, and if they'll put us in front of the right people. And again, that's back to what we talked about briefly in looking at Josh's position. I envision my role, especially here on the front end, as we start to assess our resource base and where we have some growth opportunities, as I can be out more speaking to groups and carrying the torch and the message, and having Ray and some of our coaches and others put me in front of the right people to tell that story, that position internally with Josh, with what Josh has left, we really need the operation to function. And certainly Judy Sackfield been an unbelievable resource for me on the academic side, Jamie in business, Karen in the interim compliance role, and Kevin over media relations, and our Dustin in sports medicine, and Lance in strength and conditioning. But the ship has to run while I'm not here. And again, thankfully, I'm, you know, if I'm in Dallas speaking again, I'm an hour and 10 away. I'll be back later that day.
Right.
But I do want to be out. I want to be in Sulphur Springs. I want to be in Greenville. Where there's somebody interested,
sure.
we'll get in the car and we'll go see them.
You know, I might put in a quick plug here, Jared, on investing in Lion Athletics and the kind of return that we can get. And this is one of the great things about being a member of the Texas A&M University system. Is that, you know, the Lion Athletic Club doesn't have to manage its own investments. All of our philanthropic donations are invested as part of the Texas A&M University System endowment, which is well north of $1 billion corpus.
Right.
So it gets a very, very attractive return. We don't have to fill out all of those IRS forms every year.
Right.
And we, you know, we're right up there with the big boys, so to speak, in terms of the kind of clout that we can get for our investments. So that's one of the great strengths in being part of the system. That's something that sometimes our donors and alumni don't always see. You know,
absolutely.
They think, why are you sending the money to College Station? Well, we're not really sending it to College Station.
Right.
They're just watching it for us.
Yeah.
Okay?
We're taping it on their back, and yeah. when they walk it down the road, we're going to take it right back.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And we get guaranteed payouts. You know, it's rolling 20-month averages. all the way through the financial downturn, we never missed a beat in terms of the return on our on all of our investments. So
that's just smart managed investing, which we're able to take advantage of due to that relationship.
Right, the A&M system has some of the best fund managers in the world. So that's a real value to us here in Lyon Athletic and the university as a whole.
I think another to Dr. Jones's point to further it, the great thing about it being in its infant stages, when we do grow it, there's not, I haven't had a chance to review it yet, but Jamie's been providing me some initial budget reports here over the last week, and I'll continue to pour through those.
Sure.
But when you get that kind of opportunity to grow an annual fund that hasn't had a budget line item in the past, now that's where, when you talk about making a difference for these kids, and we can reinvest in the program and operations for our coaches and sport administrators. Now that's how you grow. Now that's how you grow from, if you're sixth or seventh in the league in your budget in recruiting and operations, that's how you grow to two or three, because coaches can't control, really, so to speak, what the cost of scholarships is going to be. That's set above our pay grades. They can't, you know, the salaries are, you know, those are pre-negotiated with Dr. Jones and ultimately myself when we hire a head coach. So when you talk to a coach, oftentimes, more often than not, about their budget, you're talking about recruiting, operations, team travel, what they need to do to recruit the most talented kids here, to provide them the best resources competitively and academically, and then how they sustain that success. And that's where we have a chance to really tell our story, that you're not – I've never gone to a meeting and convinced somebody to help us buy the paper clips and post-it notes. That's not very enticing and appealing.
No.
But you can, when they know they're making a difference, we're in good shape.
Well, Tim McMurray, welcome. It's great to have you on board as our new AD.
Thank you.
And your lovely wife, Vicki. And, of course, we're looking forward to meeting the kids as well.
Yes.
So great things lie ahead for Lyon Athletics, Jared.
That's right. Tim, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you.
Dr. Jones, a pleasure as always.
Pleasure is mine.
The President's Perspective is a monthly half-hour chat with A&M Commerce President Dr. Dan Jones. It airs on the first Wednesday of each month at noon. And again at 5 p.m., you can find archives of this and other programs online at ketr.org, where you can also listen live from anywhere in the world. And you can make those vital financial gifts to this public radio station by visiting that big red donate button up at the top of the homepage. This program is produced at KETR Studio Complex in historic Binion Hall on the campus of Texas A&M University Commerce. I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.